Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Exodus, the chapter 20, and we're concluding our study of the fourth commandment. I'll remind you of what it is that commandment says. We're reading from verse 8 of chapter 20 of Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The use of the word remember indicates to us that we're liable to forget the Sabbath day. And boys and girls, you're living in an age in which people have forgotten the Sabbath day. Shops are open, and everywhere we see the desecration of the Lord's day and an abandoning of what He would have us to do. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor the cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We have already considered how that in the Old Testament times, the seventh day was the Sabbath, reminding the Old Testament saints of what God did when He created the world. And on the seventh day, He rested. In the New Testament, we find there was a change. And instead of the seventh day, we find Christians observing the first day of the week. Because on that day, the Lord Jesus rested from the great work of redemption that He had undertaken. He rose again from the grave on the first day of the week. His work was finished. And our souls had been ransomed and redeemed by His sufferings upon the cross. Well, we're coming to the second part, final study of this particular commandment, and we want to think of what it says in verses 9, 10, and 11, as we conclude this examination of the fourth commandment. First thing I want you to notice is this. Man has 6 days out of seven in which to do all His work. Out of the 7 days of the week, God says, 6 are for you to do your work. Now, were the Lord to have said, I want 6 days of the week for you to remember me and to worship, and you can have 1 day, that would have been perfectly proper, and we couldn't complain. We couldn't have complained if God had only given us 1 day out of the 7. We couldn't complain. But God didn't do that. He said, you can have 6, and I only want 1. And on that day, I want you to remember me. I want you to set aside all the things that you have an interest in, and remember me, honor me, praise me, rejoice in what I have done for mankind. As it says in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor. And I might say this, boys and girls, 6 days shalt thou play and romp around and pursue your own interests and entertainment. But on the seventh day, do nothing that is born of our own hearts and our own feelings, but rather we're to remember the Lord and to honor Him. Now, the second thing, work for ourselves and for others, is what the Lord intends for us to do. God wants us to work. That's what it says. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. God created man to work, not laze around all day long, but to work. That's an interesting concept in this world. You may not have realized it or recognized it, but you will as you mature and go out to work. The Lord has a very simple rule to deter or to hinder and stop those who tend not to work, to be, as we call it, work shy. They try to get away from work, try to avoid work. They don't want to get involved in work and labor and toil. Paul the Apostle wrote this to the early Christians in the city of Thessalonica. For even when we were with you, this we commanded. Notice that word. He didn't say this we suggested, but this we commanded. That if any would not work, neither should he eat. Think on that. That's what Paul said. If you don't want to work, you shouldn't eat. Now, if that rule were kept, there wouldn't be a lot of people not working, because they would get hungry. And getting hungry, then they would have to work. Now that thinking is very far removed from the accepted notions of today. Here in Ulster, as well as in the rest of the United Kingdom, and indeed I suppose the world to a very large degree, we are, listen to this and think about it, we are into the second, and indeed some cases the third generation of those who have never worked but have lived on state benefits, unemployment benefits and various other benefits. The third generation in some cases. In other words, a man found excuses not to work and lived off the state benefits, the payments that the government will pay to someone who's not working. And he raised a family, and they followed his example. And the sons found excuses, made up excuses not to work. And they too got benefits and lived off the benefits. If you go about the towns of the United Kingdom, you'll see standing on the corner at every hour of the day, men who are not working. And I feel that many of them could be working, should be working, but they're not working because they've made up excuses why they can't work. And they thus claim benefits from the government. Now, if the Bible rule were applied, and those who could work but won't work were deprived of food, they'd soon go back to work. They'd soon go back to work. But that's not the thinking of men. They don't accept Bible principles and Bible rules. Now, there are people who deserve support from the government who are not able to work. They have ailments, they have disabilities, and in those cases, it is but right that the rest of us put our hand in our pockets and help them. But it is wrong for those who are able to work but they're too lazy to work and they tell lies in order to avoid work. It is wrong that they should thus rob the state, rob us, and lie back and do nothing and enjoy the benefits that others bestow upon them. If God's rule were kept, there'd be a whole lot less living off state benefits and there would be a smaller tax burden on the rest of us. People wouldn't have to dig down quite so deep into their pocket to keep up payments to those who were lazy if God's rule here were applied. Let me say that I suppose it's right for us to recognize that we don't like work. By and large, people don't like work. And when boys and girls, if they're at home and dad or mum says, right, I have some work for you to do, I don't like the thought of it. I'd rather sit here and read or play. I don't like to work. But when we read the Bible, we get the reason why work is unpleasant. You older ones, look up Genesis, the chapter 3. I don't want you to lose your place. But just turn back to Genesis chapter 3, and you'll find why work is so unpleasant. Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 17 says that God speaking to Adam, and he's speaking after Adam had sinned. And God tells Adam, here is what is going to come as a result of your sin.
Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. You see that? Part of the curse that God inflicted upon Adam and upon his offspring as a result of sin was that labor and work in this world will not be pleasant. Not be pleasant. The ground would bring forth thorns and thistles, which have to be fought, which have to be opposed and dealt with in order to get the ground to bring forth good things. And the working in the fields would produce sweat, toil, weariness. And that's part of the curse of God upon mankind because of man's sin. So work's not pleasant, boys and girls, because of sin. Sin has brought this upon us. Now, before Adam sinned, he worked. But it was a very different experience before he sinned. I don't think for a moment that the work that Adam engaged in before he sinned was unpleasant. You only have to go back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And there we're told of the labors that Adam engaged in before he sinned. Chapter 2 and the verse 15. Genesis 2 verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it, look after it, care for it, and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt die. And we read in verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowls of the air, and to every beast of the field. That was the work Adam was engaged in. He was looking after the Garden of Eden, a paradise, and God says you can eat of every tree, with the exception of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then, notice, God brought all the animals that he had created. God brought them to Adam and said to Adam, you put a name on these. You call them by whatever name you think they should be called. So Adam was working with God. Indeed, you would nearly think God placed himself under Adam. For God brought the animals and said, now Adam, you name them. God didn't say, I'll name them, Adam. No, God said, you name them, Adam. This was a great honor for Adam. And just you think of what God brought to Adam. He brought to Adam many animals that we don't see in the world today. All those dinosaurs that you see drawings of in books, etc. All those were brought. We know that some of them were huge animals. And you can see wee Adam standing looking up at these great big animals and saying, I think I will call you. And they put the name on that animal. They put the name on that animal. That wasn't hard work. That was most pleasant work. That was most enjoyable work. When Adam got up in the morning, as it were, he didn't say, oh, I have another day to go to work. No, no, no. He jumped out of bed and clapped his hands and said, oh, great. Another day to work in the Garden of Eden. But sin changed all that, boys and girls. Sin changed all that. And today, work is associated with that which is unpleasant. And all too many try their very best to avoid it.
Job had this to say, chapter 14, and as ever, we always come across some wonderful statements in the book of Job. And in chapter 14 of Job, let me read it out to you, verses 1 and 2. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. That's what life is like for sinful men in this sin-cursed world. Trouble. Trouble. That's why on a Friday evening, in many factories and shops and offices, you will hear people working there, "Oh, great, it's Friday evening. I get off for a day or two." They're glad the week is over. Oh, this world, because of sin, is a wretched place. But then let me tell you another thing here. It is clear that God expects us to see to it that everybody over whom we have any authority must observe the Sabbath day. We read in verse 10 of Exodus chapter 20, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gate. Everybody within the household, and the animals as well, had to rest on the Sabbath day. And if dad or mum says to you on the Lord's day, stop that playing with the toys. This is the Lord's day. And today we remember him. And we don't do those things that we are permitted to do the rest of the week. You bear that in mind. Your mum or dad is not being harsh when they tell you to put away the toy box on the Lord's Day. They're not being harsh. They are obeying God. And if you would please the Lord, you will obey them. You will obey them. One last thing then. If we believe the Bible's account of creation, we will keep the Lord's Sabbath. God gives the reason why there is to be one day in seven observed. In the Old Testament time, as I've said, was because God finished his creation in 6 days and rested the seventh day. In the New Testament age, this age, we remember that the Lord Jesus labored, worked out our salvation, purchased our redemption, and on the first day of the week, he rested. His work was finished. And as in the Old Testament, God blessed the seventh day, so in the New Testament times, God has blessed the first day of the week. And when we observe God's Sabbath in this New Testament era, the first day of the week, when we observe it, we will enter into that blessing that God has placed upon. The world goes a gallivanting on the Lord's day, drives off here, there, yonder, enters into this place of entertainment and the other, and thinks this is wonderful. They're defying God. They don't believe that he is the one who created the world in 6 days. They don't believe that he is the one who shed his blood and redeemed sinners. They have forgotten God. And they thus rob themselves of the blessing that God has bestowed upon his Sabbath. Boys and girls, please, all your days, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, the Lord bless you. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Our God and Father, we do thank thee for thy mercy. How kind thou art to us, Lord. Thou hast given us 6 days out of seven to follow the pursuits that are good and healthy and proper, and you require only one for thyself. Oh, help us to give thee fully and completely that one day and keep it holy. For in so doing, we will benefit ourselves. We will benefit ourselves. Teach the boys and girls this truth. Bless our school today, Lord, and undertake for it in all matters, remembering those laid aside, not too well today, lay your healing hand upon them. bless us now, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.